December 23rd, 2007. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Started off with John Coltrane, Just You, Just Me. And after that, we had, from Italy, Colonel Drop, in a tune called Skyline. Tripping the
Colonel
analog synths. Brother Matt, when's the last time we did a show together? November?
Yeah, you were going to go do some poetry.
Western Massachusetts.
Yeah, that was the last episode.
So, in the meantime,
it's been cool out here on the point.
And you're doing your vacay now?
Yeah, first week is in the bag. Off to a good start, two more to go.
Yeah.
Just kind of taking it mellow Pedro style here on the point.
Yeah, but you were in Downey?
Yeah, I went for a little shiatsu session. I needed a tune-up. I was feeling like Quasimodo, so they got a killer place over there.
And the shiatsu deep?
Yeah, my friend Phil from Japan that I hooked up with.
Phil Sullivan.
Yeah. When he comes over here, he goes there every time. He says it's better than the place over there. It's killer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, remember the Pete Ellis Dodge song? Pete Ellis, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit.
Here, there.
Same way.
Okay.
Same way. But now it's called Gonzales. Pete Ellis is out of business.
He's down. And you know what? Going through Carson, I saw Don Cott is closing.
Oh, yeah?
That cat was there a long time.
Yeah, that's a whole era.
Yeah. Who's our guy? What was that thing on PCA?
It was Frank Coletto.
Coletto.
Yeah, Coletto Ford.
And it was like some shiest with the brother-in-law or something, doing a minister thing, and then...
Yeah, you had some drama.
Yeah, big drama. But the shiatsu worked.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah,
got place, all rubbed
man,
out.
When you need a tune-up, some pampering, they do it up good.
You got pampered. Yeah. So... It's the 23rd of December. That means 3 days ago I turned 50.
Yeah, belated birthday greeting.
Yeah. And I play. Now, I'm coming off of sickness, which is one reason why I didn't record the Black Gang record.
Mm.
We're going to do it February 2nd through 5th, right before I go on that tour in Japan. Talk a little more about that later, because I got some music from the guys I'm doing it with, Kramer and Sam Bennett. Kramer's been producing a lot of records over there, and he's been asking me to do this for a while, and I got a little window and I can. And Sam, he's from Birmingham, Alabama, and he's been living there a while now, and it's going to be an improv trip.
That'll be bitching.
Yeah. In February, too, in the van, driving all their towns. So a lot different than the last three times I've been there. So, the sickness. Well, I was determined to paddle in my kayak. It's when I came back from the Stooges. I played a couple gigs since
we last did Mexico show. City
Mexico
and Miami.
Mexico City and Miami. And coming back from Miami, I think, is where it got me. And I was determined on my 50th birthday to get in the kayak. So I wore a bunch of clothes. I never paddled with, I wear sweatshirt and shorts. I don't paddle naked. But for this, I got all in my clothes, and Levi, and a jacket under the life jacket and all this. And plus, it was raining. It just let up. Remember, we had 3 days of rain in a row, which is a lot for here. And it let up for me, and I was able to go out paddling. And today was first day, first time pedaling since the sickness. Almost 2 weeks, so grateful for that. And look at the weather, the sun.
Yeah, it's been
not
sweet.
A cloud
it's
out.
Been beautiful the past couple of days.
California Decembers are all right.
Yeah. So how was Mexico City? That was your first time playing there?
Yeah, my first time being there, too.
Trip?
I dug it a lot. I wish I could have spent more days there. It's really high up. The gig was kind of tough because
altitude.
I think 7,400. It's higher up than Denver.
Wow,
half mile higher. Good chow to a taqueria nearby. tell. We were in like the Polish part called Polanco. Mexico City's pretty intense with the traffic, almost Moscow. I mean, there's a lot of cars, maybe 20 million people too.
Wow,
it's a big town. And the Miami gig was right on the beach.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you know, maybe 30 yards from the surf.
Mm-hmm.
At nighttime though, 10 at night. So
oh wow!
Yeah, it was a trip. It was for some art thing called Art Basel. These people come and show their art and stuff.
Oh, cool.
In fact, Tony Alva was asked to go and skate there.
Oh, yeah?
Which was a trip because right before that, Raymond asked me to come over his pad in Venice, the Pettibone, and film crew from New York City wanted to talk about fashion. And there was Tony, too. It was me, Raymond, and Tony. Talking about fashion, which is finally Raymond just says, you know, fashion, it can be fun. You know, these guys' pants tied up with a necktie, you know, from the thrift store. Raymond, don't give a shit. But his humor is so dry, and so these people that are doing it are like tripping. They don't know it. I got a gig coming up in January with Raymond, the Riverside Museum of Art, once. I used to go on the roof and me play bass and him paint in real time. So
wow,
we're like
bitchy.
Bouncing off each other.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like Norton, I guess, uh-huh. with Banyan, but not really because we don't really react to Norton. We're turned the other way. But I'm going to be watching Raymond, so I'm going
to that'll be neat.
Keep the piece open so I can evolve with his.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll be react. He was in the... he must have some dealio set up or the New York Times picked him because he was in the op-ed again. Every time there's a solstice or equinox, they put a Pettibone work in the New York Times op-ed section. So we had another one in there this weekend, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Because yesterday was the solstice, yeah, first day of winter. Also, it was the day, 5 years ago, it was the day Joe Strummer got killed. Born with a bad heart or something and gave out in his sleep, I was told. I did a benefit for Strummerville last night with Peter and Perkins. And Strummerville is some kind of charity to help young people with music or something. And
cool.
Then 17 years before Joe, of course, D. Boone. Kind of lame day. I usually don't remember it, but doing that gig on the same day. And not really, I never got to meet Joe Strummer and really only knew his music from the First Clash singles and that Green album. And so when we were asked to do it, it was Kevin Haskins who asked. And I told him I only really knew their old stuff. So he said, "Don't worry, you get first pick." So we picked seven songs
cool.
from the older days. And and Peter never even heard it at all. But like he was 12 when that stuff came out, you know. Perk kind of knew. In fact, Flea was there, and Perk and Flea were talking. They did some song off a couple albums later on, which I'm not. I mean, I'd hear Rock the Casbah on the radio and stuff, but I don't really know their later music.
Uh-huh.
The first stuff was pretty interesting, pretty intense.
Yeah,
all this England slang, but they're really earnest about it. I think it gave me and D. Boone a lot of confidence to try and start learning how to write our own songs and be brave with our ideas as they were, you know. And it didn't matter if it was the general rock, you know, it was their view. And so why shouldn't we try and find out what our view was, whatever that was, not just copying Creed's in the bedroom. You know,
Doug, on some of the later stuff he did, the Mescalero stuff,
you know, Xander was there with a band. Xander got to do some music with him, like soundtracks and some albums. Yeah, he said he was like kind of his musical director. He'd give him little demos. And everybody talking there that had met him, it was a trip, especially Xander listening to him. I asked him, you know, what was Joe Strummer like? And he said he was really a curious guy, interested guy in the world and things. He said he'd be driving through the desert and he'd say, "Hey, you see that plateau there? There was a battle fought there between this and that, then and now, you know, that's here." And so maybe Joe Strummer and D. Boone really got together, long together, good, man. I did, somebody gave me an interview where they Joe Strummer was asked about some U.S. punk bands. And he said he really liked the Ramones, but then he said he was into Minutemen. So I wish I could have met him and stuff. You just don't know. I guess he spent a lot of time here in L.A. too at different periods. This is like after the Clash, maybe what you're talking about.
Mm. Mescalero.
Like mescaline?
Yeah.
tripping potion. Well, that's from, it's in the peyotes, right?
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. All right. I did some gigs coming right back. Because it took a couple days for those bugs to incubate in me, and so I did some gigs with Tom and Raul in Orange County, and one was with this cat named Patrick Gallagher, and I actually got to I made him a deal because we were doing the Second Man record here at Carmen Biro, and I need a little more time, so how about there's no time, you know, so I got to try and switch and trade with somebody, and this guy was making his record there, Pat Gallagher, and so I said, well, look, if you trade times, I'll play bass on one of your songs. Well, here's the song. Okay,
cool.
What from Pedro Show.
Pete going down Main, trying to make a nickel for the pop. Pete, no pain, don't kill my day. Feel it to me, feel it to me. Drink on me, let your cocaine be.
From Pedro Show, some dimensions of emo there. That's
sensitive.
Some sensitive. Showing the sensitive side of the Watt from Pedro Show. After blasting off with Coltrane and Colonel Drop, we had to kick it down a few notches. And that was Menageabation. With Emotional Picture. We were discussing, me and Brother Mattia, you know, how'd they get this name? They sitting around. Now, especially after hearing the tune, too, it's like, whoa.
Like, you take Funk and Wagnalls, I'll take Webster, and we can pick some good words.
Well, especially before that, we had Fly Ashtray with Mind Pants. I wonder if he ever mentioned that in the tune, Mind Pants. The concept's probably way beyond that. And then something Joe Carducci is a guy who ran SST Records for a few years, or many years, didn't start it, but he came on board after a couple of years and really was involved in the era where it was intense. Yeah, big time. Him and Mugger and helping Greg and Chuck out, really get it wailing. And he lives in Centennial, Wyoming now, and he sent me this CD by a guy named David Lightborn, and that tune was called Tell It To Me. And Joe Carducci, you know, should have known, because if it was music coming from Joe Carducci, of course it'd be, you know, kind of a emo softness, but not the core issue like Cho-Cho. That's got Joe Carducci's fingerprints all over it.
He sent down that jug band?
Big time. But they probably got a residency at the coffee house down the street from Joe. And we started with Desire by Patrick Gallagher. And, I couldn't remember what I did on that song. I thought I had a bass solo. That's what I usually do when I run out of hooking together the chords. I say, well, it's time. Like, we'll play another song down the road here, this show, where a cat from Ottawa named Mike in a band called Kings of Lower Town asked me, hey, I want to write a song, and then I want you to play on it. And I thought, okay, what do I write it about? And I said, well, I wrote him back, I like that book, The Sand Pebbles. You know, have you ever read it? He writes back, no. Well, read it and make a song out of it. Now, let's play something new from Turbo Negro.
I'm nationwide. I'm hungry, big boy in the chupin.
What from Pedro Show? That was Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros. Brother Matt had some, so I got to hear what the later Joe Strummer is like. That his voice was a lot different than the Clash.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like some of the later Clash stuff. But yeah, I dig on that.
Tripping. And then we had Turbo Negro before that. Everyone loves a chubby guy. Chubby Dude, sorry. Great band from Norway. Turbo Negro. I was telling Brother Matt about the Turbo Jugend, which is these chapters of fans. There's a Turbo Jugend San Pedro.
Even. It's like the bureaus, huh? Local bureaus.
Yeah, right. Chapters.
Where are we at? 59.
Yeah, we're coming up toward the end of the first hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. For December 23rd, 2007, Watt's first Watt for Pedro show as a 50-year-old, and it's all right. I can deal with it. You got a little ways to go, right?
Five more.
Okay. So you're half through the 40s.
Yeah, I met one of your classmates last night at a Christmas party, which was a trip to find a Pedro dude who used to hang out at the Café de Grand and shit. Digging all these local bands.
I don't know if you're coming through there, brother man. Get closer on that mic.
Well, I met him, and he dug it. It was cool. Went up Pedro folks in the old days. The funky mic still. This thing was nothing important.
Okay,
we're back.
No, we ain't. Keep going.
Well, it was fun.
It was a good Christmas party. You guys would have loved it.
Fresh swordfish.
Barbecue in the
backyard.
It was great.
Merry Christmas.
So recap again.
Yeah. So met Tim Padu last night, one of your former classmates. And it was a trip. Just running into Pedro dude from that same
class 76.
Yeah, going to Hollywood and not knowing him at that time, meeting him now all these years later.
Wow. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, we're at the end of the first hour of Watt for Pedro Show, December 23rd, 2007. Hold tight for hour two, because we got a spin cycle coming from Brother Matt, special Xmas version. December 23rd, 2007. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
I used to have a map in New York, but I left it back in Budapest. When I got back to Brooklyn, they really put me to the test. They say, Sam, where are you going to next? I said, I plan to stay right here. They say, hey, that's way too far to go. I said, that's funny, cause it seems so very near. I just flew into town and I'm spinning round and round. Honey, the railroad runs right through my kitchen. Here comes the 807. Just as I line up my eggs in the morning, along comes the 9-11. Kinfolk says I'm gonna move away from there, but I'm happy here, don't you know? I sip my morning coffee while I listen to that lonesome soul blow. I just flew into town and I'm spinning round and round. I've got a dump truck full of drum machines. They're filling it up to the brim. I'm gonna rock the block like a clock nonstop. It's gonna be bigger than Fat Boy Slim. I've got a stack of distortion pedals as high as a telephone pole. I'm gonna link them all together in a daisy chain until they sing like Nat King Cole. I'm just doing this town and I'm spinning round and round. I feel like I've been severed down the middle. Half of me wants to go back home. The other half wants to float up and away to that hole in the Roman Pantheon dome. But if I traveled to the ends of the earth and came back with a thousand stories to tell, you'd still be better off listening to the echo of the ocean rolling in a seashell. I'm just blowing the town and I'm spinning round and round, round and round, round and round.
Was making me dumb. I
Watt from Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Just Blew Into Town by Sam Bennett. And then we had Kramer with 9 minus 7 is 2. And those are the two cats. I'm going to do the Brother Sister's Daughter Tiny Japan Tour, February 8th to the 21st. 14 gigs in 14 days. A Tokyo band called Light's going to be on all the bills with us. And then some other bands. I think every night's like four or five bands.
Oh, wow.
But they're efficient, man. I've seen some gigs, and it won't be any dawdling. Not like you guys gig. So you heard something from Sam there and something from Kramer. And if you can just imagine those two with Watt, improvise it. Now, Kramer's going to play fuzz bass. I'm going to play, you know, Watt bass. And Sam's going to do percussion. And, the third song there was I Don't Care, Just Fight by Yuki Kawana. And now, it's been a while, so it's, well, even if it was short, it would still be my extreme pleasure to let you know Brother Matt's going to bring on some his spin cycle.
Skýjum hlá Lýst upp gamla götu sló Þar glæðleg lína stó Pingló Klukkan sló Máninn ofar skýjum hlá Leit á lás er var á leið Til línu hans er beið Unnen þum er máninn kær Þeir kæra ljóma slá Lás á byðins buxum var Drátt frá línu
better hold on. Better hold on. Better hold on. Better hold on.
6 of St. Mark's on the Bowery. It was my first reading for a while in the terror generation. Before I came here, my dog Bebop and I sat before two trees standing like old friends at the Committee on Poetry Farmhouse in Cherry Valley. Through the centuries of abandonment, we, like orphans of the planet, are seen doing our culture of the toxic ghost winds of the virus, riding, looking for a host, like that. Oh, I got those Armageddon rapture-headed end-time blues. I put on the past flashback shoes to get here. A little dated but sedated, I've been here before. Who sat there? Who sat there? When we shared a loft on the Bowery, 1970 A.D., graffiti bricked up East Village, surrealistic gate at the end of Lexington Avenue, an old movie noir, kaleidoscopic poster, Dada Vu, cut out the face and put in you. One you know, while the night was fluid and swift and a switchblade, from love to hate, stuck in the pockets of a black motorcycle jacket, speeding superstars dancing chemical orbits past Max's Kansas City, space above so vast you could throw a great knife and never hit a star. Little nightly embers spark from barrel fires burning on the Bowery. Old block jive of spirit piss and jisms fit. Where too they all died from the great love that pierces for a moment at any time, from which no human is immune, like to James Carr's love attack for those years of those who remember the greatest soul singer died. Wes Race knows him. In the projects of a creeping malaise, the paralysis, he died of a paralysis of spirit, he claimed. In the years that Alan and Jack and de Kooning too were arguing over art as self-expression, self-satisfaction, or higher communication, humanitarian in nature, written in journals about the beats and the hippies and everyone must get stoned and did, and that's what's happening and turned into what happened. Generic geriatric punk of old, still digging the hole of life. But never talk about yourself when you are my age, even when asked. But here we are, gathered here tonight. I've been here for so many memorials, memories. I might as well give my pre-memorial. Everybody who's been there did that. Generations generate ancient frozen stardust trapped in a stone from that hole I climbed into where the comet hit in Arizona and Superman was eating the DNA. I rode the expressways of hijacked oil from the stolen prairies of the West to Manhattan's cloud-draped canyons of standing coffins rising. Come down through New Jersey, where all the names of towns were from the tongues of the Mahican and the Nunatican Jersey. Green big green signs on the turnpikes I have driven with Janine and Ray and Andy and all the girls and boys of old joys on expressways that followed the roads that followed the trails of Indians. I too have driven on past Manasquan, pressed the pedal to the metal coming in at dawn through Matawan, got to go past Hop-pot-a-kong. If I want to get there, go that away through Piscataway to Totowa and Hohokus. Is that you, a Hawken in Manahawken, talking broken in Hoboken? We go all the way to Wanakay and Sukakasana soon. As she asked me, do you want a Secaucus all around Wenatchee? And she knew the moon was circumcised tonight above the motel light, doing the last neon tango with Marlon Brando. The days went by like a hurricane, half century's broken heart, gone past mortem, post-mortem, past through modernism. They began for me in Kansas, like in a butterfly's LED green lights on the dashboard of a 48 Mercury on a straightaway highway. Friends die in a bending moment towards the eternity of the long hidden line of curving space I cling to. Woke me up tonight at the existential movie, one train going one way and the other way, fateful passing arrows of death, eternal spirals of the nights in volts of love. At the old memory noir train station where Trevor Howard kisses Celia Jackson and are pulled apart by love's Brief Encounter, 1945. World-sized magnets always pushing on souls, left alone in a forever-bending night. Who can live it? Bums rub hands above the fires in the barrels burning on the Bowery. Death is to catch the westbound, as they knew before Giuliani. I will have to start here today. Dark amber April, my morning shoestring broken. Dead souls see a spirit and want some flame like a particle might in the subatomic world, where a universe of parallels meet up with a virtual partner somewhere in the world and scoot off somewhere to and annihilate with each other. In the whole pattern, in the line of this world, move on, move on. First forward in time, then backwards, then forwards again until your hair turns gray. They will blame you unconsciously for the leftovers of the great generations, the great highways of tail fins, leaving other wastes for another war, and growing economies that will become burned words and dusty books for the small minds who had the greed justified until the rapture, and now they pieced together the words of the Gospel of Judas, who had to be the fink, or the cop suicide of Jesus wouldn't work. The whisper in the ears that it was not only for this world, which is obviously flawed like dust in the diamonds that came down through the world beyond the world, the vast cosmos that tears from your mind. That's why the slightly mad laughter from Jesus that puzzled the others, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, from whom Armageddon heads God, their kingdom, to use up and transferred all accounts to the god of money, the goddess of sex, the star of power. Mark, John, where's Dick? Your Dick, with a shrunken soul, and those without the confidence to stand and sound a note. The disciples were puzzled at the laughter and the possibility of their disciples in 3,000 years or so would hear a laughter in heaven when they gather at their Budweiser tailgate parties or boats or snowmobiles or lawnmowers or anything the shrunken brains can gain from the fossil past, the carbon dust, the diamonds and the stars. Why was Jesus laughing when whispering to Judas? Because they thought he meant this world. This Judaic Roman world of religions that grew from the slaughter of the lands around 50,000 wars since we began to scroll. Would you suspect by now that it might be a gene, like a single electron veered off in space, like orphaned souls of this word traveling backwards in time, like the years before of Descartes when he threw the dice and wrote The Secret of the Rose again into the notebook? Scholasticism, the downfall of education then and now, empirical evidence suspect. It's the infinite parallel line passing through the circles like strangers, passing familiar geometric points, like Buffy's dome, little gnomes of the gnomon spiraling up in volumes that come around like the good winds and the bad winds spiraling upwards, like the serape blowing over my horse's mane into the wilds of the unknown, who wants something grander than war to bust out, to see an intelligent designer who will only permit our science to create ourselves again out of the bog into a virtual glob. Be cool. May the funky grace protect you from the catastrophes, big and small.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Build a Machine with a tune called Mark My Words. Some blues rock there. Willie on the trumpet, Willie Waldman.
Cool horns.
We're at the end of the second hour, December 23rd, 2007, Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. December 23rd, 2007, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
It is it. And there is no other it than it. And everything is, and everything is not, its messenger. There is nothing it can add to it and nothing to take away. So when it came to act, in an act of creative self-circumcision, it tore itself away from itself. It tore apart an empty place within itself, but it found instead the dense and milky ocean of transcendental number. And the number was disturbed, and its surface welled up like angry blood from a startled wound, and this world, and countless other worlds, rose up with it, and by the force of explosive decompression, were turned inside out. This blood that exploded, this is what constitutes death. For our universe is but a tiny particle of ash, and this is a fact which has already happened, and we are alive, in order that we may be allowed to catch up to it.
Immortals die when they are born into the meaninglessness of their newborn mortality. And we, and all of this universe, this world, our world, we are the afterlife of such number. Rather, we constitute that portion of the numerical afterlife, which happened to end up as this universe, as this iota of ash. And there is so much more ash than we yet understand, and we can never get to know of it. We are but ghosts.
And like all ghosts, we exist or do not exist in a state of denial. We are made up almost entirely of empty space, as ghosts are. We are quick to suffer from loneliness and cold and hunger, as ghosts do. Yet we will not put two and two together and see what we are, like ghosts everywhere. We don't remember exactly how it is that we actually got here. How we came to be our very selves and not some other person. We have this feeling because we once shared in everything, but now we share in nothing. It is right to say that every person being born has participated in the miracle of birth, but they are also participants in the tragedy of a greater dying. We believe our sun is hot, but it is only like the light in the back of a freezer, and we think black holes are scared, dense and hungry. But they are less than lint to the living. And the thousand of our worlds are like a tiny crumb upon the sheets of a truly hungry. For many are dead, but within everything is one life doing the living. The dead always have a feeling to take some responsibility for luck which happens their way. But the dead are turned inside out and so must first understand everything always as backwards. Know that luck is nothing more than a well-tended grave. For how could good fortune originate in this world, if when it is produced in the world before us, and then exported across to us, who live in the other side of emptiness, who find or don't find ourselves over here, on the wrong side of the sticks?
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Mystic River by the Kings of Lower Town. Now, I was telling you earlier in the show, it's just an interesting kind of thing. You know me, I'm... In fact, we should play this song. Did I bring Clash? Like, the last song we did last night was Garage Land. You know, we're a garage band. We come from Garage Land, you know? And, but this other thing where you don't know that people don't see you're not playing with them, it's a trippy thing. It's a whole another side, a dimension of music that that's new to me. But it's exciting. And we heard an untitled song. Yeah, when people tell you that, I asked them to name the song, Daniel. It's from Sam Duke and Daniel Hippolito. And when I asked Daniel, it's entitled, what's the name of this song? Because it said untitled. Sometimes that's just... Yeah, that's the name of it, he told me. All right, I get it. And universal speech for that. And then the universe as numerical afterlife. Now, this is by Captain Pleased and James Farrington. What it was these guys were writing back each other emails. And then he took the emails of the discussion numbers as a way of describing, metaphysical, where to, after you shake the mortal coil kind of crap. And, or not crap, investigative inquiry. And, but they take his emails and he reads them back to a robot talker. And so that's what you're hearing. And that ain't real. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But it's a machine doing their chimping. Yeah. So that was interesting. Kind of thing. All right, let's play some more music.
Thank you. I just drank 16 quarts of gin, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. I had me a gal on here before, I said I'd never come back no more, but here I am right at her door, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor.
Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Who's that knocking at my door? Cried the fair young maiden.
Why, it's only me from over the sea, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. I just got back from Portugal aboard a British whaler. I whipped 10 guys in a port saloon. I knocked some coal with a brass spittoon. I wrecks the place like a bloomin' typhoon, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor.
Oh, your whiskers are scratching my chin. Oh, Bill, your whiskers are making my face all red. Why didn't you get a shave? Cried the fair young maiden.
Why, I ain't shaved in 20 years, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor. Save me from washing my neck and ears, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor. My whiskers grew so bloomin' fast, they covered the ship from hull to mast. Why, the seahorses eat 'em instead of grass, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor.
Oh, did you see any whales? Oh, did you see any whales? Oh, did you see any whales? Cried the fair young maiden.
Oh, I caught me more than 1,000 whales, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor. I grabs them by the big toenail, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor. I tied them together 2 by 2, and I drove them down to Timbuktu. But I trades them in for a kangaroo, says Barnacle Bill, the sailor.
Oh, did you bring me a kangaroo? I wish I had a kangaroo. Why didn't you bring me a kangaroo? Cried the fair young maiden.
Oh, I couldn't, you fool, I give it away, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor, to another gal in Mandy Lay, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. She danced and pranced and chimmied and shook, she rolled her eyes of a step she took, but I left her flat, cause she couldn't cook, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor.
Tell me that you'll stay ashore, tell me that we'll part no more, cause you turned me down before. Cried the fair young maiden.
Ah, you whining women are driving me daft, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. I'll sign aboard a pirate craft, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. I'll plunder and sink every ship that comes. I'll hang the crew by their blooming thumbs. They can walk the plank, the dirty bum, says Barnacle Bill, a sailor. I'm off again. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. A lot of motorbike. It's coming on, what, 3:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. So that means from where the Love Grotto is out on the Pleasure Point here, it's kind of in vicinity of the Walker Cafe to freeway route. So they got to come here and then blow the straight pipe, yeah. Dick extender, foul it up. Yeah. Really is, though. Something else, after when we got big winds and the rain too, God, it's so clean for maybe 6 hours.
Green flash the other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. At the sunset?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like perfect conditions.
Wow. Well, maybe we should mention what these songs you just heard were. That was Mu-Ann by 3SO. And we had Barnacle Bill by Sourdough Slim before that. Matt Jones and the Haircut. And we started off that chunk with Rock Heroes by Butterfly Effect. So, non-net. Thank you so much. Yeah. But in a way, it like affirms the notion that we're individuals to some extent. And we're not total flock of beagles. Although beagles might be individualistic in a way. Saw Nanny this morning, and right. What was that band, Haircut 100? And her dog, Wilson. Now, this guy was homeless, living at the docks, paranoid of everything, you know. And by Nanny taking him in, he's gotten so much reassured, and this personality has come out. She takes him down, you know, to her children's zoo, and he's hanging with all the chickens and the roosters, and they're running around, and he loves it.
Awesome.
This guy's got paws the size of my hand.
He's like a big yellow lab or white.
Yeah, he's a mixed mongrel thing, but he's got lab in him.
Cool.
And he's beautiful. And went from that paranoid, scared, just totally sketchy, into this big, loving puppy who hangs in with the geese and with the pony and Ophelia the pig. Yeah, and you know, it's righteous. The way there was something, what's that thing with the lioness? Something, you know, lions stick together, the women, and then they chow for the one strong guy, right, till he's too old. The other, it's kind of like with sea lions. They stay, the young guys are all frustrado. Yeah, the one harem boss, and then the other frustrado is just waiting for him to get weak or tired or whatever. But anyway, this lioness got separated out. And they chow, the main chow for them is a kind of antelope, onyx? Damn it. With a R, a Y, and an X, and something in there. Not the cat, but it's like one of these herd animals with the big pointy things that can run. Yeah, it can run really fast. And anyway, this lioness got separated out, living on her own, took up with a little what calf or something, maybe one of these, and was raising it.
Wow.
Yeah, is that true? Anyway. See, it's sort of like the Mystic River. Yeah, sure, it's about the same. but somehow this make the music in your own pad, in your own world, your own head. It's sort of like a lioness raising a caribou or whatever.
Yeah, there's some weird little matchup gazelle. Like that works out, like zookeepers can do like a little shuffle.
Well, you got a predator and a prey.
Pretty weird combo.
Wow. I wonder what the other ones think. Like, traitor, race traitor. Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, man, think about it. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe it was just getting out of the other mode, because not living with the pride. And I don't know if people know that, but the women chow with the lion. The lion has no predator. So maybe other lions. Mm-hmm. They were showing them like, once they get the chow, they don't share so kindly. You know, it's like, you know, a hunk of it in each mouth and ripping it up. Yeah, that's how they divide it up. They just grab on with their mouths, and whoever rips off the bigger hunk gets the big...
You see that YouTube thing, Battle of Kruger, where the lions are just kicking it, and then this herd of buffalo, water buffalo, or wildebeest or something just cruising down the path. They're just kicking it, walking right at them, and then...
Pounce.
Like 10 feet apart by the time the buffaloes figure out that they're about to stumble right into the den. And then the lions pounce, weed out the baby, tackle them into the river. They're all chowing on them. Crocodile comes up out of the river, starts chowing. They start wrestling over the little baby buffalo. The lions win, pull them up. They're chowing on them. Then the herd of buffalo comes and starts flinging the lions.
Right, booting them because they can kick like motherfuckers.
Yeah. And then they got the baby back.
They got the baby back.
Yeah, after getting gobbled on.
Not on.
Away, yeah.
Whoa.
Away from it.
Kind of a life experience.
Yeah, that's a YouTube Battle of Kruger, it's called.
Why Kruger?
I don't know, someplace in Africa.
Oh, okay. Man. Stumble on that with a camera.
Yeah, it's just some safari out there with their video camera. Got it.
Wow. That's better than like sometimes YouTube people will send me, hey, I got a thing of you. And they went and I don't know what. They went as somebody or them themselves was at a gig and they're showing me blow the fucking clams out of some song all sour ass. It's like, oh my God, thanks for sharing this. Because sometimes you're relieved that a gig like goes into the air. And like last night, I think I blew some clams. You know, and I knew it, but when it came onto the thing, the sickness, once I started getting heated up and stuff, my mind started, like there was a gig, Ann Suma did some pictures from the old days at Track 16 in Santa Monica. And I was recording with Steve McKay out in Claremont. Hey, what's this? Claremont, Montclair? Uh-huh. You know, Claremont's way older, right? And then Montclair, they build the college town. Like, what the fuck? Right next door, they go, what are we going to call? Well, I don't know. What about Montclair? It's the same fucking name backward. Yeah. It's like, God damn, get original, dude.
Dyslexic town.
Yeah, it's like, what the all the names you could pick. No, let's pick their name backwards. Okay. But whatever. I get there, and first tune we're playing, I look over in Tom and Rao, I do a bass solo. I look over in Tom and Rao, and it's like, I don't know where we are. I don't know what town we're in. I didn't know, you know what I mean? Sometimes a space out, you know, it's like the fever will take your mind. And I didn't know. And I looked at him like totally... Mr. Wizard, you know, where am I? And of course, they're looking to me to key on, right? You're the pivot man here, swing man. So when I give them the doe eyes, it's like, what? You know, so they're like, oh. Yeah, it was the chain of command broke down a little bit there. It happened a couple times. I was so embarrassed. But then John Jones came up and did a urinal song. They did urinal Shifram of the Shah with us. John almost died of a heart attack, you know.
Oh, wow.
During the summer.
Wow.
And he's doing gigs.
Damn.
And he's 50, 51. And to be playing next to him, you know, a song that me and D. Boone, whenever I'd break a string in the Minutemen days, D. Boone would go into Surfing in the Shah while I put on the new one. So it was a great thing. All right, here's some music.
Thank you.
From Pedro show started that big shovel full of music with the Freeway, the remix from Many Birthdays, great man from Austin. Then we had SIDS from Shobu, trying to figure out what that is, maybe acronym for sudden infant death syndrome, but they're from Japan. And then and these Italian cat, Valerio Cosi with Proud to be Kraut, which I think is maybe a reference to Krautrock. And American Bruises from Glossary. I have no reference with any of that going on. Yeah, two young men. And we finished up with Vis-a-Vis and a tune called Literate Shoes. And that's got Tony Mamoni on bass. Brother Matt, thank you so much. Yeah, my first radio show as a 50-year-old. Thanks for helping celebrate it with me. And another righteous spin cyclage. And yeah, maybe we get one more show in before the year ends. 2008. What do you call these things? I mean, there's the teens, the 20s, the 30s. What are these called? The O's? Yeah. Anyway, people, peace on earth. Keep your powder dry.